let's be encouraged by the word of God. And so before we partake of the Lord's table, of course, Lord Jesus Christ, our exalted head, is his example that we follow. But this afternoon's message, I mentioned that a little bit this morning, the chief executive servant, but how do we live for God? Of course, in the simplest terms, you know, be a servant, to be a servant. So let's go to Mark chapter 10. And, you know, this is a familiar passage, but it's a good reminder for us, a good challenge for us, and take it at face value, you know, and in its entirety as God's word. But Mark chapter 10, let's go to verse 42. And boy, speaking about our will in the flesh always goes against God's will. I mean, it's so evident here. And so look at verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful thought. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one true God. Lord, Father, we love you. Thank you, Father, that it's just your great love, your sovereignty, Lord, your lordship. But Father, that in your great love and goodness, you chose to save us, to send Jesus Christ to die for us. Lord, what an awesome God you are. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Help us to be more like Christ, to be a servant to all. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, the way of the world, the tide of the world goes one way. God's kingdom, of course, goes the other way. And when it comes to being a servant, what a reminder. Jesus says, of course, the disciples were, hey, I'm going to be better than you kind of thing. Started comparing who would be the greatest disciple and so on and so forth. But Jesus sets the record straight, and he says in verse 43, but so shall it not be among you, not you guys, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Minister is servant. That is the one that serves to minister to others, to give, not to get. So who gives the most, not who gets the most. And verse 44, and whosoever of you, so that God is not a respecter of person, is whoever fits the bill. If the shoe fits, then you'll be the chiefest. Okay, and so will be the chiefest, shall be servant of all. And so that's, you know, out of the, at that point, the 12, you know, and out of the 12, whoever wants to be the quote-unquote greatest has to be the humblest and the servant to the other 11. And so, and verse 45, Jesus Christ himself is the example. For even, and that's a wonderful word, even, that's the extreme of it. And so, and everyone else follows, right? So even the Son of Man. And the Son of Man, yes, it speaks to the humanity of Christ. The Son of God speaks to his divinity. But the Son of Man is the title that is given to the one human being that is anointed and chosen to reign and rule over all creation. That is the highest title that can be given to a human being is the Son of Man, the anointed one. Of course, that's Jesus Christ. So even the Lord Jesus Christ, who will sit on the throne of his father David and reign over all creation, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. What a God that we have. That is amazing. And that's why it's a stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Greeks. You know, they can't get over the fact that a king would come to die for his people. What king does that? It's always the other way around, right? It's always the king sending his troops to die for him. Our king is different. He came to die for us. He came to save us. He came to serve us. It's a stumbling block to the Jews. Again, what kind of king would be arrested and be, you know, be taken over by Caesar? I mean, that's, you know, and so they want to go with the winner. And so we have no king but Caesar is what they cried out. And so, but this is Jesus Christ. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to what end? And to give his life a ransom for many. The many here is all, in the same sense as everyone. But the idea that Jesus Christ came as a servant and he calls us to be a servant of all. And that's where it really hits home for me, is to be a servant. Observe that Jesus is not just so much talking about serving as he is talking about being a servant. The emphasis is not so much on what we do, but who or what we are. It's not so much of doing something, but it's more of us being something, and that will be a servant, to be a servant. And again, same thing with our salvation. Okay, the scripture emphasizes that we are what we are, who we are, over what we do, right? That we are a child of God. We are a new creature in Christ. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are a soldier of the cross, a fisher of men, a steward, a disciple, a sower. It's the emphasizing of who we are that determines from the inside out what we do. And so a sower, a farmer, okay, but a sower, guess what? Sows. Duh. He sows because he is a sower. Jesus said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." If we are a servant, guess what we will do? Serve. It comes from the inside out, and we do outwardly because of who we are on the inside. And what we are on the inside doesn't change. The circumstances does not change what we are. And so you can take a mouse, whether it's in the field or whether it's your kitchen, where they put it in a tank, it's still a mouse. Okay, and so you take a servant, the circumstances might change, but if a servant is God, places a servant here, places a servant here, places a servant there, the circumstances may change, but they are still a servant, they're going to serve. And if I don't focus so much on being a servant, then it's easy for me, if I'm focusing just on serving, maybe I'm not so much a servant as I'm just someone who serves once in a while. Oh me. Being a servant, what we are, is contrary to our flesh. It is anti-flesh. It's anti-self, but it is pro-spirit. A true servant is one of no reputation, not just someone who does something for a wage or to get repaid in some kind of fashion, although those are always blessings, okay? But a true servant, imagine a waiter who never gets tipped, but serves anyway, never gets acknowledged, never gets appreciated, never gets thanked, always forgotten, always taken advantage of. That's hard. At some point, I'm like, well, I don't want to be a servant anymore. This is not good. I don't like it. How many of us would keep serving? And beyond that, how about keep serving joyfully? What? How is that even possible? Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise. Because the flesh does not want to be a servant. The true servant, I think of the testimony of John the Baptist. Now, he considered himself, his own mindset, he considered himself less than a common servant. Remember he said, he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Okay, the latchet of shoes I am not worthy to unloose. Now, to untie the shoes would be a duty of a servant. And John the Baptist is saying, I'm not even worthy to untie the shoes. So he's calling himself, I'm less than a servant. I mean, that was how he was in his own mind. But how does John get praised by the Lord? The Lord says, for I say unto you, among those that are born of women, so that's everyone, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. What a testimony, of course, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And so Jesus was referencing the privileged position that you and I as New Testament believers in the church age over Old Testament saints, that's a blessing. But as far as servants go, there was none greater than John the Baptist. How much of a servant am I? Are we? Am I just an entry-level servant? Or am I that chief executive servant, right? That greatest of all is chiefness. To be a chief servant, look at verse 44. For whosoever of you will be the chiefest, so the best servant, or the greatest servant, like Jesus proclaimed of John the Baptist, shall be servant of who? Of all. Now this is where it really, this is really, really hits me home here, because my personal confession is, it's easy for me to be a servant of some. Some I could do that. No, he doesn't say some. He says all. And some folks, it's easy for me to serve. Those that thank me back, those that appreciate it, those that heap praise upon me. But to be a servant of all, especially those that couldn't care less about you or I, Some people, it's a joy to serve. Others, not so much. It's hard. Oh Lord, increase my faith, increase our faith. And this is what God has commanded us to do, called us to do. Anyone can be a servant, but it comes from yielding to the Lord, His Holy Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I want to just share this. Paul here, he commends, as he's wrapping up his epistle to the Corinthians, he commends particularly here three brothers. not biological brothers, three brothers in Christ, three men of God. Timothy, Apollos, and Stephanus. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. I just wanted to observe this here, because what's pretty amazing is all wonderful servants of God, yet with all different backgrounds and strengths, you know, but the idea is, of course, everyone can be a servant. This is what God calls us to be, servants. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 16, and notice how Scripture, you know, speaks about these three gentlemen. Starting in verse 10, Timotheus, or Timothy. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. I mean, take care of him. Okay, just. And here's why. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. What a testimony coming from the Apostle Paul, saying that, hey, Timothy is... He's my disciple. He's laboring for the Lord. You receive him. You support him. Supporting him is supporting me. What he does is what I do. Let no man therefore despise him. Don't look down on him. He's younger, okay, but don't look down on him. But conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. And so Timothy is going to come back and say how you guys are doing. So take care of him, you know, and work with him, labor with him. He's a tremendous blessing. Now again, Timothy, his background, you know, he did have a mixed heritage. Okay, his father was a Greek, but his mom was Jewish. His grandma was Jewish. And so he grew up knowing the scriptures, at least the Old Testament scriptures. All he had was the Old Testament. But it was, of course, the scriptures point a person to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But he grew up knowing the scriptures as a child. He had godly influence by mom and grandma. And when Paul was able to preach to him the whole gospel, and Jesus Christ is the Messiah that your mom and grandma have been praying for, and he's here, you know, he became a very dedicated disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there's a little mention there that he was so dedicated that when Paul asked him to be circumcised, so he will not be a stumbling block to the Jewish people, he agreed. Now, it gets kind of personal. You know, most men, if they get circumcised, is as a baby before they know anything. Timothy was a young man when he agreed to get circumcised. Now, again, circumcision is not for salvation, but it was so that the Jewish people would be open to hearing and receiving him as someone they would listen to. You know, he didn't have to, but he yielded his liberty so that he could reach them. Again, I share this testimony of Brother Jameson. I do appreciate him. Now he's pastoring. But I still remember, I was so touched. This was when the whole COVID thing, the vaccine mandates and all that, and all the back and forth, should you not. And I will never forget, Brother Jameson called me up. And he loves doing nursing home ministry. And he said, well, Pastor, I got good news. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, I got my COVID vaccine. I got my COVID shot today. So now I can go in and preach to those in the nursing home. If I die from the shot, I die from the shot. I'm okay. He didn't have to. He yielded his liberty. It's okay. I'm going in. They say, you can't preach to them unless you have the shot. Okay, I'll take the shot. I don't care. I mean, you see what, and it kind of caught me off guard, and I appreciate his dedication to the Lord. Timothy here saying that, well, we're not going to hear you. You have mixed heritage. How do I know you care about the Jews? And Paul says, you know what, Timothy? If you get circumcised, they'll listen to you. Now, circumcision availeth nothing. Either one doesn't matter. But it mattered as far as reaching them. And he was a servant of God first. And so he yielded his liberty. He got circumcised. Look at verse 12. Next is Apollos. And as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, But his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Now, Apollos, when you read in Acts, you know, he's a skilled preacher, a skilled orator. He knew the Old Testament scripture, mighty in the scripture. He knew all those verses. He just didn't realize it was Jesus of Nazareth that's the one that fulfilled it. You know, that's wonderful. And so Priscilla and Aquila, they took him in and said, hey, this guy's a phenomenal preacher. He loves the Lord. And they expounded the scripture to him more perfectly to tell him, hey, you know, this is fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, about the church and all that. And what's amazing about Apollos, yes, as mighty as he was and eloquent a man as he was in the scriptures, he was humble enough to be taught by, you could say, a lay couple, Priscilla and Aquila. And he was used mightily of God because of that. Well, here he is, and Paul commends him. Now, Paul has had his own timetable to come to Corinth. Even though Paul wanted him there, he says, no, I don't think the Lord wants me there now. Which is what's so wonderful, because at the end of the day, it's not what Paul wants. It's what God wants. And when we are in the trenches of serving, it's not what mom and dad say, it's not what pastor wants, it's what God wants for you, to know that he wants me to be a servant. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, in other words, behave like men, not just babes in Christ, but veteran Christians. Be strong, let all your things be done with charity. And then verse 15 speaks about Stephanas. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. So the first, I guess, family or household saved in that region. And so the idea is that Stephanas was a late convert. You know, he was more recently saved. But guess what? His entire family addicted themselves to ministering to the saints. That is amazing. And that they, so first he got saved, but then his whole household have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They loved to be servants. That is what the house of Stephanas is, the whole family. They love to be servants. That touches, that warms my heart. We are true servants, you know, when others, you know, think we are. Sometimes I heard a preacher say, you know that you're a servant when you know that you're a servant when people start treating you like a servant. Then, you know, yeah, I guess, okay. And I think of Elisha's testimony, the prophet of God in the Old Testament, Elisha. Of course, he took the mantle after Elijah. But before Elisha ever did the miracle of unending pot of oil, before he raised a Shunammite woman's son, before he cured Naaman's leprosy, before he smote the Syrian army with blindness, before he rose to prominence as the prophet of the Lord with a double portion of spirit of Elijah, Elisha was, guess what? He was a servant. I want to just quick reference you. Let's go to 2 Kings, because this is how he is described by someone else, right? And so praise the Lord. So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings, let's go to chapter 3. Now Jehoshaphat is speaking here, the king. 2 Kings chapter 3. Let's go to verse 11. So 2 Kings chapter 3, and then verse 11 says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So, I mean, who's a prophet, a true bona fide prophet of the Lord, a man of God? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Now that phrase, poured water on the hands of Elijah, yes, literally, but it also means that he was Elijah's personal attendant, like personal assistant, okay? And so Elisha, before he rose to prominence, he was what? A servant. And by the way, it's a servant that's pointing it out, okay? So it's the king of Israel's servants, so plural. They all know Elisha, and what resonated with them, I mean, they're servants. They don't just say this guy. They say, no, he was the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah. And so he's a servant among servants. answered and said, so they all say, he is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. That's amazing. God desires us to be servants, not just to serve. A servant will serve. The key of being a servant, well, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, a New Testament application for us, because this is the heart of the matter. How do we serve all? Because I can serve some, but how do I serve all? Well, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and then verse 23, Paul again speaks here, and look at what he says here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That is a mind-blowing truth. Again, the context is serving as a servant. So look at verse 22, the next verse right before it. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. And so our bosses at work, you know, those in authority over us, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, this is so profound, because if I don't like my boss might tell me to do something. I might grumble and do it anyway. Otherwise, I get written up. Okay? God is saying that's not going to cut it. Don't just do it to please your boss so he can outwardly see that you're obeying. Now, God can see our heart. The boss can't, but God can see our heart. And so God is after our heart. It says in singleness of heart. So not have a divided heart, a heart that's focused, that's in tune, fearing who? God. I'm not doing it because I fear my boss, which is what would happen if I do it just outwardly, right? And we are to fear God. Fearing man is the opposite of fearing God. Fear that is not on God takes away from his reverence. And so we ought to do it because we fear God. And then, so whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And so even if it's a bad boss, I submit and do it with singleness of heart. Do it heartily as though Jesus himself is asking me to do it. I mean, that as unto the Lord and not unto men. I mean, this is such a wow. And so that person that I struggle to be a servant to, you know, sometimes I'm happy to be a servant here, but with this person, I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to change hats a bit. I'm going to take off my servant hat. No, don't do that. The Lord is saying, do it as unto the Lord. Now, they're not the Lord, okay, but do it as though the Lord is asking you. Wow. Not unto men. Verse 24, the last shall be first, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. What a thought. It's hard to be a servant. It's impossible in the flesh. We can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's to encourage us. Again, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Don't feel like it, but give it our all. God sees it. He will reward. Look at Luke chapter 12. This is the parable. We'll wrap it up here. Luke chapter 12. And then verse 37. Luke chapter 12, verse 37. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving this parable. Luke chapter 12, verse 37. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, of course, to watch and wait, you know, for him to come. But verse 37, he says, blessed are those servants. Again, emphasizing who we are over what we're doing. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself. Wow, what kind of king does this? Our king. And make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. It's always a blessing when my wife and I can kind of get away, and we were blessed to go, you know, spend a night in a hotel for our anniversary. But, you know, we understand when we are away, how does the saying go? When the cat's away, the mice play. You know, and so mom and dad are not there. We just want the house to be standing when we get home. We just want no phone calls. Yeah, someone split their head open. We're like, oh, you know, just get through. Hold the fort. Now we'll come back and then we're going to pick up the pieces, you know. But it's a blessing when my wife and I come back home and the house is in a good shape. Things have been taken care of. kids have done the chores, they've done what we've asked, they've tidied up this, they've done this, and you know how it makes me feel? I just want to serve them. I'm so blessed that they did what they know that mom and I like. I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. And I see that here, where the master comes back to his home, his mansion, his manor, and the servants have done what he commanded. He is so blessed that it's a joy for the master to gird himself with the servants, you know, aprons and garments. And he's so overjoyed because this is a rarity, right? Because other masters, they don't see this. And so he sees his servants, they're true servants. They enjoy serving him. And so it's like, oh, what? You guys sit down. It's okay. Just sit down. And they want to serve the master. And they're like, no, 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 it's okay. Sit down. Here. I want to serve you. I mean, this is the joy that the Lord has over his children who are also servants. And so that is amazing. And will come forth and serve them. I mean, that is joy that he has. And so other people might not appreciate what we do. They might never acknowledge it. They might never thank you. In fact, they might hate you for it, you know. But God sees your heart. He knows your effort. And if you are a servant to all, it brings him joy. And he's so blessed. What a blessing. What a thought. We'll bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a thought, Lord, that all around us are opportunities for us to serve heartily as unto you, Lord. Help us to be a servant, not just someone who serves, but to be a servant, because I serve from the inside out, Lord. And so help me to be a servant to my family, to my wife, to my children, to your church, to my neighbors, to my colleagues, Lord, to people. Help me to be a servant that I'm privileged to serve as though I'm serving you. Lord, what a wonderful privilege. And Father, you know, we confess in the flesh that we are weak, but nevertheless, your will be done, Lord. We do yield ourselves to you. Help my pride to be squashed, Lord. Help me to cleave to the Holy Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit in obedience and faith to your word. And Father, that we do believe, we claim it by faith that the last shall be first, that we do claim it by faith that when we've done these to the least of these, your brethren, we've done it unto you. What a wonderful thought, Lord, to direct our life, align our life to your will. Lord, that we be servants of man because we love you. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise.